This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
Hello, I'm Marc Boulanger. One of the institutions which has been pushing harsh austerity measures after the near collapse of the world economic system in 2008 is starting finally to acknowledge what the labor movement has been saying all along. The International Monetary Fund is admitting that severe austerity programs and acceptance of economic inequality has been worsening the economic downturn. Radio Labour's senior correspondent C. Marie Ainsborough reports.
The International Monetary Fund, the IMF, has finally admitted that inequality is damaging to economic growth. The labor movement has been arguing this for years and has been supported by bodies such as the International Labor Organization, the ILO. The IMF is an organization of 188 countries which lends money to nations when they get into financial difficulty. Its philosophy has been to ignore economic equality where the rich earn much more than those lower down the economic ladder. It is the body which, along with the European Commission and the European Central Bank, has been forcing austerity on countries such as Greece. But it is now admitting what unions have been saying all along. Austerity measures are slowing down economic revival and inequality must be tackled. A recent report by the IMF says that inequality may be the number one threat facing the global economy. Countries with high levels of inequality, such as the United States, suffered lower growth than nations that distributed incomes more evenly. Public investments in infrastructure, spending on health and education, and social insurance provisions may be both pro-growth and pro-equality, the IMF report said. The report is to be presented to a joint meeting of the IMF, the International Trade Union Confederation, the Global Unions, and the Trade Union Advisory Committee to the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the OECD. This is C. Marie Ainsborough reporting for Radio Labour.
About a year ago, in April 2013, an 8-story commercial building being used as a textile factory in Bangladesh collapsed, killing 1,129 workers and injuring more than 2,500. Most of the workers in the Rana Plaza disaster were young women under 20 years old. Immediately after the incident, unions around the world, coordinated by the Global Union Federations, began pressuring for a fire and safety accord to be implemented in Bangladesh's textile factories. I talked to Rosa Crawford about the current situation in Bangladesh. Ms. Crawford is a policy officer in the International Relations and European Union Department of the Trades Union Congress of the UK. She just recently returned from a study visit to Bangladesh. I asked her what unions and their members could do to help the workers in Bangladesh.
Well, there's a lot of lobbying power that we can come together and exert on our government. And indeed, labour unions have been doing that very successfully up to this point. The Bangladesh Accord on Fire and Building Safety only came about because the Global Union Federations came together, the Garment Workers Global Union Federation, Industrial, and Uni Global, which represents retail workers around the world, came together with the ILO and with the brands and said we need a safety agreement. And in that way, they got a commitment from over now 150 brands to commit to improving safety in their factories. And individual national unions like the TUC that I work for in the UK played a big role in calling on all companies within our countries to sign the Bangladesh Accord.
In other news, the giant Australian multinational Ansell has refused a court order in Sri Lanka to negotiate a settlement with 294 workers fired by the company in October 2013. The workers, who make items such as surgical gloves, went on strike when Ansell fired 11 union activists. In the United Kingdom, one of the country's largest unions, Unite, has reduced its contribution to the Labour Party by £1.5 million a year, about $2.5 million annually. The move came after the Labour Party decided to not accept union members unless they had individually asked to join. For many years, unions in the UK have been automatically registering members and paying dues on their behalf. And that's it. Now you're up to date with the latest international labor news you can use. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.